it's a testimony to this message that God doesn't need perfection. If you're imperfect, you're a great candidate. If you have imperfections and you've had them for over 40, 50 years, you're a perfect candidate. Amen? God delights in taking the most imperfect things. The world was created out of chaos. There was chaos. Everything was dark, and God brought the whole universe out of it. And he's going to take it out of the chaotic circumstances of your life. He will bring the perfection out. Amen? But you're not going to be able to obtain that yourself. But there is a realm, and I'm finding out, I think I know how he's going to perfect his bride. You know, as we've been talking about transformation, transfiguration, butterflies, and I try to convey an operation that the Holy Spirit has led us into that I believe with all my heart is going to perfect this generation to be the final bride. You will not find this level of perfection in anything in the earth. There's nothing powerful enough to perfect you outside of him. But in approaching the glory of God, I was under the impression we would just move from one place of glory and power and grace to another, and it would somehow we would be perfected in that. But I didn't understand that there was another realm in Christ that was ongoing, that his burial, crucifixion, death was not just a one-time thing on the cross. I didn't understand there was just as much as power in his death as there was in his resurrection. And there was just enough power in his burial as there is in resurrection. And he designed it this way, not just for a one-time deal when you're born again where he buries the old man and resurrects the new. It's an ongoing thing. It's an operation that's always there. In other words, when you plug into God, into the resurrection, you ascend into the hill of the Lord. That means it's always there. You're touching it by faith. There's also another realm you can touch by faith. Jesus said, if you have faith that operates as the grain of a mustard seed, you will say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and nothing will be impossible to you. He never mentioned nothing would be impossible outside of operating in the mustard seed. The mustard seed faith and understanding what that was. The two main operations of mustard seed faith was one was burial and one was resurrection. We all love the faith part about the resurrection. We know how to go in by faith. We know we go there by faith. But when it comes to perfecting ourselves, we don't do any of that by faith. We do all that by works. When we have a problem, we're trying to fix ourselves all the time. We're trying to fix ourselves with our own stuff, with our own works. And that's why he said, he that entered my rest, even part of that was saying he ceases from his own works. You cannot obtain perfection, but we do have a high priest in the same chapter that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Yet he was without sin, therefore come boldly. There's this constant clarion call for us to come to him. And we know to come to him, but now I'm understanding we can exercise faith in both realms, both for burial and resurrection. Now, you don't know that you need things to be buried until the Spirit of the Lord shows it to you. And there's only one kind of microscope in heaven. There's a microscope in heaven that's superior to anything in this earth. Telescopes that look into the universe. There's no kind of microscope that can look into the universe of your heart like God's Word. God can shine a light like no other light. And when you get caught up with him and he shows you certain things about your life, then you have to know what to do with that. We've all been caught up and seen certain things about our life, but there is a realm where God will bury that. Amen? Hallelujah forever. He says it in different ways. He says it crucifixion, burial, baptism, circumcision. All of these different things are describing an operation of God. God did not raise your spirit to be with him in glory and leave your flesh to yourself. He didn't raise your spirit to be in glory and then leave your old man for you to deal with your old man and all the problems. How many of you have problems with the old man? Raise your hand. The rest of you are lying and you need to get up here and repent right now. Everybody has problems with the old man. Some just hide it better than others. Everybody has a struggle. You have these areas you struggle with. and you're struggling. Thus struggle means not victory. Struggling is not victory. He has a design for you in this area. He has just as much power to put your old man down as he does to raise your new man up. Did you hear that? When you learn to tap into that place, there's much as much power to put the old man down, but we've never known to do that. We're always trying to fix our old man, but we always bring in our new man to God. Of course we bring ourselves and we surrender, but surrender's not enough. You got to get it buried. And you can exercise faith for burial. Amen. Everyone said faith. That's why he said if you had faith that operates like a mustard seed, well, we know faith can operate up. What about faith to operate down? Amen. Faith for planting, faith for burial, faith for baptism, faith for circumcision. God has a circumcision made without hands. Very sharp sword in the cutting away of flesh. Glory to God forever. Here's the deal. As long as we live self-willed in the earth, you'll very rarely encounter operations like this. That's why they're not in the mainstream body of Christ. You don't hear about them very often. It's only when you approach the realms of God's glory, where light dwelleth, where life dwells, where power dwells, when it does, see, when you start approaching the realms of God's glory, everything changes. Because that's where he dwells, and God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And so you start approaching light, the things that have been hidden in darkness start getting unveiled. Amen? But you got to know when he begins to do this, he has an operation for your flesh, old man, and an operation for the new man. And they're both just as powerful. I had no idea how powerful the one was for the old man. I realize now that I can exercise faith in the burial of my old man in the same way I've exercised faith in the resurrection of my new. Did you just hear that? You can't exercise faith in something if you don't know there is an operation there. The first thing I want to show you, we'll look at Romans 8 for a minute. When he said, if you had faith that works as a mustard seed, understand what I'm saying. Why is it that we can have faith for that seed to grow? What about for that seed to die? The first thing a seed does when it falls in the ground, you know it dies. It has to get planted. See, there's two parts of you, and that's what he was saying. If you want the God of the impossible, you'll have to deal with both realms. You'll have to deal with the residual effect of your old man, which is your body, and the unrenewed parts of your soul, mind, will, emotions, intellect, faculties, the unrenewed parts, that's called, all of that is included in flesh. Old man. Amen. He's constantly going to be burying and resurrecting. He's not just going to resurrect, because you'll blow up. You'll get into euphoric. People that rise like rockets will go down. You rise too fast, you'll fall just as fast. There must be a balance. I'm realizing some of the greatest men of God have fallen. Because they found the operation of resurrection, but they did not have the other operation. And their flesh rose against them. Because in that realm, all of hell will come at somebody. And the hell, only thing that hell has is your flesh. The enemy will try to empower your flesh against you. In that realm, there'll be more things fighting you. And you have to have something that's shielding you. There is a certain shield with God, but he'll be empowering your flesh and the emotions against you. And there's got to be a death along with the burial. But it's not a bad thing. Look at your neighbor and says, it's not a bad thing. The only reason it is because you look at life the way you see your trials. The way you see sufferings. The way you see. We're always looking at that as like, oh, I got to go through hard things to get this. This is not done in the earth. It's an operation of the Spirit of God. You're going to see death and life, burial and resurrection. You're going to see the thread, both going along. Both of them are in Christ. We always think of resurrection in Christ. Resurrection, life, glory. You know what there else is? There's also death. There's burial for the old man. There's a sword that separates the two. It actually separates three. Only God can do that. You're a three-part being, and he can separate any part he wants. Dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Spirit, soul, and body gets divided. Romans 8, verse 10 or 11. If Christ be in you, say that's me. The body what? It's what? Dead. Is your body dead? Have you ever felt the passions of your body? Have you ever felt the glory of God the next day, felt the passions of your body? To want things of this world? He said, I was born in this world. Don't fault me. That's just the body talking. I like the stuff in the world. But Jesus declared it dead. Not only did he declare that, he positionally buried it when you were born again. That's what your baptism was about. It was a public display, confirmation of what happened to you in the spirit. You were buried. Well, if you buried, why do I have all this stuff? He goes, well, I buried it positionally, just like I raised your spirit positionally. You know, there's a whole denominations get born again. Their spirit's been raised and seated with Christ, and they will never know that realm until they get to heaven. I mean, really get to heaven. I die and go to heaven. They don't know anything about it. But positionally, it's been given to them. In your new creation, you've positionally been seated with Christ, and your body's been positionally buried. Now, when we walk with God and we enter in this realm, Christ, as the minister of our administration, as our high priest, will administrate those positional standings. He will enforce them by his Holy Spirit. And there is a realm of faith, say faith, where you can enter into and bury the old man and raise the new. I'll prove it to you. How many before coming to this church found it very hard to move into the things, move through a door? I mean, you even heard of doors before you came here. Now you're moving through doors. You're sitting in the right hand of God. You're in the rest, and you're operating in these arenas now that they weren't operating before. Raise your hand. The reason is because you heard truth. You consistently heard it over and over again, and you started applying faith towards it. So you started moving in that realm. You can do the exact same thing for the old man. Did you know that? I didn't know that from last week, so I know it now. Because the word's starting to open this operation. And believe me, when you're struggling with things and you want to get the weight off of it, you want to get the ceiling off of it, you see, it's the old man that's putting the ceiling. The ceilings are going to shatter. Did you just hear me? The ceilings are going to shatter. And your spirit is going to move in the dimensions of God like it's never moved before. The flesh is going to be put down. God has enough power to bury your flesh. Jesus did that for you. You can enter into his burial and his resurrection. By faith. Say by faith. Because Robin, she caught me after service Sunday. I mentioned this yesterday. And she said, I want this. Because he opens up a room. And when he starts carving, he'll show you something like nobody ever showed you. When he opens that up, oh, you could have 1,000 people shouting at you. But when he shows it to you, because he even desires truth. We're in the inward part. He desires what? Truth in the inward part. But we like to hide in the inward part. We don't know how much hiding we're doing. You have no idea. You can't know. Your brain, your spiritual maturity can't tell you that. Only God's microscope can tell you that. In the past, we were taught to pray in tongues a lot. Tongues is an edification gift. It's a revelation gift. We were taught to pray 6, 10, 12 hours a day. We'd pray ourselves into our own strongholds. Because he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God, he edifieth himself. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. We start praying in the Holy Ghost, and it would so charge the Spirit of God. It was so charged. It would so activate heavenly things that all of a sudden, it was just a matter of time. You knew it. We call it an impasse. You get somebody praying in tongues long enough for 5, 6 hours a day, and my spiritual father is really good at that. They were going to run into themselves, period. And when you run into a stronghold like that and your emotions start going like crazy and all of a sudden that thing was hiding, is hiding no more. But we didn't know what to do with it. We would walk around in our strongholds, biting each other. Fasting's a supercharger of that. Fasting will bring you straight up in front of yourself. But then, how did you cut it down? I didn't know. I just knew back then. Now I know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that I could fold that into Christ. That I could surrender that into a pool of baptism. Where it would rise no more. Back then we just lived with it. And hoped and prayed until we came back to normality. So Robin asked me, what do I do with this? I said, you know, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Let him do it. Because I really didn't know. I was led into it. I said, just keep your eye on the Lord. But the Lord, since then, and he's opened it up. He said, that's not really the right thing to say. He told me, he said, actually, you can exercise faith in this arena as much as you can in the arena of resurrection. You need to know there's just as much power in both realms. In fact, you'll have to exercise faith. And the first scripture he gave me was Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, say present, to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Now, in the Old Testament, they would bring this imagery he's borrowing. They would bring that sacrifice into the temple, in the outer courts of the temple, and they'd cut that sacrifice open. So get the imagery here. They would cut that thing and they'd lay him on the brazen altar, him, the sacrifice, the lamb. They would lay it on the brazen altar, the living, but you see, you're a living sacrifice. You're presenting and Jesus is the high priest administrating over that, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. You can present, see, you can present your old man. You're presenting the body as a living sacrifice. I present it for burial. I present it for baptism. I present it for circumcision. Say present. You don't do that here. You do that with him. You bring your life as an offering. The first thing you do, you can present the body. Lord, I recognize that this body has passions. It has desires. It belongs to the world system. You purchased it, but it still has a nature that very much likes the world system. And as much as I love you, this body can, I can lift my hands with this body. And as soon as I walk out that door, this body can desire the things of the world just like that. People that walk with God said, how can I do that? Your soul can do that too. Your soul can go glory, glory, hallelujah. And then walk right out there and all of a sudden it can engage in the world just like that. That's why you present it, a living sacrifice. I present it. For burial, I present it for sacrifice. I offer it to you, Lord, in faith, knowing you are my high priest in the administration of this sacrifice. You can bury this. Burial and resurrection. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He called it the reasonable service. When you're in there with him, it's one of the first things you can do. Present it, because understand your body is going to get in the way of the glory. The desires of your flesh is going to get in the way. He says, no flesh will glory in my presence. In the glory of God, flesh can't glory. Here's what's going on with the church. When the gift realm's in operation, man can have their cake and their flesh and they can still operate.
You start approaching the glory, everything changes. You don't get to operate in the glory and have your life too. You don't get to operate in the glory and then have flesh too. You're too accountable, because when you step into the glory, you're stepping into light. And when you're stepping into light, you're stepping into the accountability of heaven. Everything changes. Your whole life, you can be doing it that way and getting away with everything. Because God designs you to operate with Him while you're growing up. That's the whole Corinthian model. He'll put His gifts, He'll put His power on you, He'll put everything on you. While you're operating with all your carnality, the Corinthian church was the most carnal of all. And God gave them the gifts and ministrations and the callings all come on them. But with those in this last day that will approach the glory of God, everything shifts. You don't get to have the carnality. You come into the light. Everything is brought into the light. But that's a glorious thing. Say, that's a glorious thing. But God's power is up in His glory. The stuff that changes nations is up inside of God. The power, the glory, the life, or the fullness of our image. The stuff everyone's looking for, you're not going to get it running around like that. You're going to get it in the glory. And to get in the glory, flesh can't glory in the presence of God. Flesh has to bow. You have to do something. And Christ has made a way. Amen. Say, He's made a way. He has made a way for your old man. You don't have to struggle in trial. Get out of your mind that I got to go through trial for the next 40 years to get perfected so God will accept me. Understand this. He accepts you just the way you are. He has to accept you. You are accepted in the beloved. Bring your life to Him. He is the high priest. He'll administrate over your life. He is the one that will execute and originate and initiate the change, the transformation. He does it in the realm of His glory. He's a high priest, by the way, that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. He already knows your stuff. You're not going to surprise Him. You're not going to shock Him. Now, I can take any one of these areas and go into it. Any one of these is talking about the same thing. From Romans to Colossians to Philippians to Hebrews, they're all talking about when Jesus said, Father, I make them one, I ask you to perfect that they may be made perfect in oneness. God's going to perfect the oneness by this operation. And it's most powerful. The one you really want to know is the Hebrews one. Labor therefore the enter the rest. He that enters rest, he ceased from all of his labors. For the word of God is quick. How many of you ever been exercised by that sword? How many has he cut away the flesh? I mean cut. See, there is a way where you'll come to God with your burdens. Isn't it amazing how he'll lift your burdens? What do you think he's doing? He's cutting that burden off for you. There's a whole nother layer. He can actually cut the nature out. That sword can go down into your nature and cut the very nature of your old man out. Cut it down. But he's not going to come and invade your life, in people's lives when they're living for themselves. This is for people that want to walk with him. There's people who want to walk up in his glory and have all the limitations taken off. You cannot remove your own limitations. He said it was the unbelief, but if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, if you'll understand both my burial and my resurrection, understand how to apply faith and bring your life both in, and bring faith into both arenas, you'll find the God of the impossible. You can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. The glory, mark my words, is going to start filling up around here. Hey, those that were ministrating in the glory, multitudes don't ministrate in the Holy of Holies. You know that, don't you? The multitudes are in the outer court. The Holy of Holies is for those who can't have anything else, who have an appetite for God that can't be quenched. I'm going to give you something that's going to remove the limitation, that sword, sharper, any two-edged sword.
when he's brought into that, when I understood that realm with him, when he started activating, he opened something up in my heart. That sword began to cut away. And what activated that is Anna and I were looking at this couple on Facebook the night before that we had a relationship with in the past and falling away with. And, you know, we fixed a lot of that and all. But something, when I walked away from that, there was this knot in my spirit, and that's why I couldn't sleep. That thing opened a knot. That's what happened. When he opened that thing, started that surgery, he didn't just cut that knot out. He cut everything else out with it. And I walked in here with that. I'm like, God, what is this? Why did you do this before service? We're supposed to be happy. He says, now tell them about this operation. They need to understand where everyone's going. There's an operation. I'm not going to leave your flesh and your old man to yourself. I can cut that away with a finely skilled sword. That's what Colossians says. We have a circumcision made without hands. Our high priest performs it in the cutting away of the flesh. Cutting away the old. He cut that thing. I mean, it took a couple of days, but it's just what? And the glory then. Wow. You get elevated in the spirit when he removes something like that. It just elevates you. I don't explain that. It's just a limitation was cut off. So I'm like, that was painful, but I want some more. I didn't understand what Paul was saying. The book of Philippians. He says, if any man have confidence in the flesh, notice his confidence in the flesh, I more. Because you don't understand, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He says, concerning the law, I was blameless. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I memorized the first, was five books of the Old Testament by the age of seven. Concerning the zeal, persecuting the church. All this I did out of confidence and skillfulness and discipline of my flesh. My whole life before God was built off of it. He goes, but when I found Christ, all that stuff was dung. He goes, I've suffered the loss of all of that. He says, I suffered the loss of identity. I suffered the loss of all of that. God had to cut all that tree down. But now he said, I'm found in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, not having mine own works, not having my own discipline, and all of this confidence I had in self and my ability, because all that was cut down, but I found something so much greater. Now notice what he says here. Philippians 3:8, and doubtless I count all things for the loss of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I want you to see this. Whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them. When he's saying suffer the loss, he's talking about that whole old, everything that was built off of his soul and his flesh and the confidence of his flesh and his identity. Because I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Notice in verse 9, be found, look at that, be found in him. He's going to tell you there's two operations. He's about to tell you, I was found in him. He's going to describe two operations he finds in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, through confidence in the flesh, through discipline, but that which is through faith, say faith. Through faith, say faith. Now notice this, verse 10. This is really powerful. That I, what, may know him. That I may know him. And there's two arenas. This is Paul writing. He's giving you wisdom, apostolic wisdom, apostolic revelation. He's writing this at the end of his life. He is in Rome. This was his final letter. He's about to be headed. And this is wisdom because I've learned something about God. And he made that journey, that transition. Listen, you don't have to have it all together. God delights in your infirmities. Your weaknesses do not intimidate God.
Your old man does not intimidate him. He's already buried him because I got enough power to bury him. I've already buried him. I'm not intimidated by your stuff. I have the keys. I won all those battles. The stuff you're dealing with, I am not intimidated by. If you want freedom, you got to get that into the Lord. And you got to get it buried. When he buries it, it doesn't resurrect. Now get this, because I'm going to close with this. Verse 10, he goes, I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. Everybody goes, glory. Hey! We've been on that for 7 years. And, say, and, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. See, here's what you do. When you hear the power of his resurrection, you want to know him in the resurrection. You know, I got to go into him. I follow him in. I keep his word. I'm dwelling with him where he is. It's all spiritual. And then as soon as you hear in the fellowship of his sufferings, it all goes carnal. Oh, and I got to know him also. I get it. You want to know him in the power of the resurrection, but you want to know him in sufferings too. As soon as you do that, you come out of heaven and go into the earth. As soon as you hear that, then I got to know him in the fellowship of sufferings, being made conformable to his death. This is always the earth section over here. I don't know what's going on, but you want to know him in sufferings. If you want to make it big for God, what? You got to suffer for the Lord. That's the way we see it. But that's not what he was talking about. I want to know him. I'm found in him. And I'm found in two places. I'm found in his resurrection. And I'm found in fellowship, communion, union with his sufferings, not yours, his. His was the crucifixion. His was the burial. His was that. He says, my old man's going to know him in that arena because he's going to bury my old man. I'm being made conformed to his death. Not you. Your old man's being conformed. He has power to bury the old man while he's raising up the new. Oh, hallelujah. That's how the glory of God's going to come into the earth. That's how the bride is going to get perfected in the last days. Hear what things? God's just going to supernaturally perfect his bride. He is going to supernatural. He's going to call her up to where he is. He's going to start executing judgment against the old man. And he's going to raise up the new. And the sword of the Lord is going to separate soul and spirit and body. Burial and resurrection will be two very common themes in the coming glory. It's burying the old man. You're not there. You're resurrected into the new. But it's a process. It's ongoing. Amen? And it's for you. And it'll remove your limitations. Anybody who's been walking with God knows anything about limitations. The hardest thing for a hungry believer is they always run into their wall. The greatest thing about hungry believers is they always hit their ceilings. Probably the most frustrating thing for hungry and thirsty believers is they'll get right up in front of their ceiling. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You hit that ceiling, you hit it, and don't know how to get through. This is how you're going to get through. This is what's going to get you through. You can have faith for resurrection and faith for burial. Those scriptures right there is going to arm your faith to bury the seed and resurrect the new man. Burying the old, resurrecting the new. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Those who know the glory and want the glory, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have ears to hear, eyes to see. Why? Because you want the glory and you know the price. You want to pay it. You just didn't know how. You don't have to pay it. He paid it. You enter into his sufferings. You enter into fellowship with his death. Not yours, his. You present your old man to die in him. Not in yourself. Stop originating this stuff in you. You'll be all men most miserable if you do. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. You can't do it. He can. And it's done in him. It's an operation. It's opening up. It's going to remove the ceiling. It's going to crush the ceiling. It's going to break open the glory realm. It's going to break open wide the glory. And we're not going to fall under the weight of it because our flesh is going to be buried while our spirit's getting resurrected. You know, it was an old barn that the Azusa Street was born in. Horse barn. Just a few people serving God. That thing opened 50 nations in a matter of 2 or 3 years. It went to 50 nations and sparked revival fire for the opening of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. Imagine what he's going to do in this hour in the restoration of all things. Doesn't matter what anything looks like right now. When the glory comes down, anybody who come and touches that stuff, they'll be changed. Wherever they go, it'll just start falling out everywhere. They'll come in here and getting clothed in it. They didn't pay the price for it. You did. They'll enter into something's in operation here. Both death, burial, and resurrection. They'll come and sit for weeks on end in here. And then they'll go back home and it'll start spilling out everywhere they are. I'm telling you, people are going to walk in here. They've been sick for 50 years and they're going to get healed. The atmosphere of God's going to be in here. The limitations of our flesh are going to be cut down, severed. God has a sword of circumcision, not made with hands. He's a high priest, very skilled at cutting away. Buried with him in baptism, raised with him in glory. Constant operations going. They've not stopped. Jesus is not on the cross, but your old man is. You can go lay your old man upon the cross. And your new man can go into heaven, and God can do that because he's the one that separates. Father, thank you for the glorious operations of your Spirit. Glorious operations, Father, for those who want the glory. I hear the Spirit of the Lord said they're coming. And I bring them from all over the world. They're going to come into this house. This house will move, but they'll come in to your next sanctuary, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'll bring them from all over the world. They'll come in. And the price you paid in this house as intercessors, as sons and daughters, they'll freely inherit upon your labor. And I'll cover and clothe them what's been purchased in this place. And they'll take it back home. And it'll break out in their churches. And it'll break out in their homes and their groups. The glory will move rapidly in the last hour. But these operations, says the Spirit of the Lord, will go with them. These operations will go with them, says the Spirit of the Lord. The operation of burial and resurrection is part of the sword. The operations will go, and they will be with you. I give these things. I was buried for you as grace. I give it to you as grace. These operations are my grace. I've heard the intercession of your heart. I can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities and limitations. I've seen and watched and heard the cry of your heart. When, God, when will we see you again? These are the operations that make the final preparations for you to dwell in the Father's glory, to be adorned in the image. I am your creator, and I'll restore your image. And you'll walk in dominion, and your flesh will not rise against you as it did men of old. It will not rise against you. For I will bury it while I'm raising you up. The things of this world will not rise against you. The pride of man will not rise.
The glory of man will not rise. The uncleanness of the world will not rise against you. My sword is power. My death is power. My resurrection is power. I am with you because you're with me. I'm with you to the finish line. And in this finish line begins a brand new place. You're coming into the threshold now. Saith the Lord. The threshold of the final preparation. You will begin to see the glory you've asked for. You will begin to walk. You will handle power. You will see great favor come upon you. But you will not be left the same. I am your builder and maker. My heart is to restore your image. I'll cut away those things. This is my promise to you. I will bury, I will cut away, I will crucify, and I will bury those things that are in the way. Come unto the light, says the Spirit of the Lord. Come unto my love. Come into my life. Come into my fullness.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.